this week's show...
There was a Star Wars trailer.
Didn't like it.
There was another Star Wars trailer.
I liked it.
Previous Doctor Who companion blasts current series. Nigel tries to sell me...
The Line of Duty. And Gareth tries to sell me...
Generation Zero. Stay tuned. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys, girls, gamers, geezers, geeks, Jedis, Sith, Time Lord companions who happen to be Scottish, cartoon characters, overworked game developers, people who work in the army, and people who are fighting off robots in a post-apocalyptic Sweden. It's this week's Monkey Nut Patch podcast. Yay! And I haven't got the giant fucking land whale of a man, Keith. But I do have Captain Birdseye. He's managed to come off of the sea and come into the International Gaming Face Punch headquarters, which is a fucking state at the moment, I hate to admit, because I've got my fucking front room everywhere but my front room. So, yes. So, hello, Nige.
Hello, Nige.
I just jogged my cable. Okay, so this week we've got the Star Wars trailer. Or teaser trailer was released, along with a game teaser trailer. The previous companion from Doctor Who has got some choice words to say about the new series of Doctor Who. The Simpsons are happy with their new corporate overlord, shall we say. BioWare's in a bit of a mess in regards to management, which we can both sympathise with.
Yes, we can.
And Nigel's going to try and sell me Line of Duty, a BBC TV series, which Keith was talking about. And I'm going to try and sell him Generation Zero, which I've been playing recently. So, with no further ado, it's on to the podcast. So, first topic up, the Star Wars trailer. The first confusing thing is the title. So, I can't remember the fucking title now. It's Skywalker something.
Rise of Skywalker?
Rise of Skywalker, which... okay, so let's have a look. In the previous one, The Last Jedi, they said clearly that Rey was nobody.
Yes.
And now it looks like she'd probably be a Skywalker, along with old... what's his mush?
Yeah, it's... bit weird, really, because they like basically said, no, you are not a Skywalker, you are not born of a Jedi, you are a nobody. You are literally a toe rag that was left, and that was that. So, now what?
yeah, it is a bit on the weird side.
So, who's the Skywalker? Who is the Rise? Is it Ben?
Well, it's got to be Ben. The theory is that they're two twins. That's what it is. They're two twins, which then makes the Last Jedi look a bit incestuous, shall we say, with a couple of certain set of scenes.
But so did the original set of Star Wars.
Oh, no, don't say that.
Because they both didn't know.
Oh, yeah, but the excuse was that he hadn't worked out that they were brother and sister at that point in time.
And nor are these two. Nor these two. Yeah, massive VR.
Yeah, but
what you're saying.
You don't sit there and make the fucking same mistake twice. You learn from the first time.
Two generations. Two different generations, born worlds apart.
It's
maybe
okay,
but they feel this affinity towards each other. They felt this connection, and sometimes people feel a connection towards somebody and they, you know, they don't know why.
Okay, so that's the first things first is we saw Ray looking rather fucking mannish in the trailer. And she sounded like she was having sex right at the beginning.
She did.
Your kids thought that she was having sex.
I said, kids, come over here. We'll watch a trailer. I didn't tell them what trailer it was. And it starts off with a black screen and very heavy breathing. And they're sitting there covering their eyes going, and their ears. And they go, daddy. And then suddenly Ray appears and she stood there and they went, oh. So I was like, I know what you think that was. Yes, that was probably her sex noises. But obviously I didn't say that to her.
Yeah. yeah. And then she looks like she's going to take on a TIE fighter single-handedly with a lightsaber. But she doesn't do it in like the Jedi way, where the Jedi like stop, focus, become one with the Force, know what's going on. She does it like Avatar The Last Airbender cartoon series or Naruto. That's what I'd expect from Naruto, with the turn around, wait for it, and then you flip around and get it. Which is less Star Wars-y and more, as I said, Naruto / Last Airbender. Which is fine for those, because that's quite contextually correct. But when it comes to like Jedi is supposed to be calm and focused and stuff. I did it in all the films. It's like the bit where he's in the ice cave with Wampa. Yeah? And the first time you see him use the Force properly, old Luke Skywalker, you see him stop, he pauses, he focuses, and then he can retrieve the lightsaber. And then you can also see it when they lose it, and bad things happen when they lose it, and don't do that focus thing. Mm. And then I turned around and said to you when we were watching it that it should have been like Qui-Gon Jinn in Phantom Menace, where just before he has the fight with Darth Maul, where you've got Darth Maul, and Darth Maul's like wandering around impatiently.
Yeah, yeah.
And you've got him, and he's literally looks like he's praying. Yeah, just before he gets killed. But that's more Jedi-like.
It is, although if I'm going to put a bit of doubt in that, she hasn't, Qui-Gon, for example, and even Luke, and any other previous Jedis, they've all been trained by a Jedi. Even Luke was trained by Yoda, only for a little bit, but he was trained by Yoda. So she hasn't, from what I've seen, had any training whatsoever. Yeah. So she's only going off what she's seen other people do, and the only other person she's seen use the Force in this sort of manner is...
Yeah, I know, but she shouldn't...
It's Ben.
She shouldn't be able...
Ben. It's not Ben, is it?
It's Kylo Ren, isn't it?
Kylo Ben.
He looks like... There's a bit scene where he looks like he's killing off one of the Knights of Ren in the forest, because they think they go to Endor because you see a crashed Death Star. And in the first film, there's Yavin. They were near Yavin, if I remember correctly. And it exploded. And that was like the Yavin 4 or 5. One of the ones was a big red one, and the other one was like a habitable planet. And it exploded near the red one. And it doesn't look very reddish. It looks more foresty, but kind of...
Looks Kashyyyk-y.
I think maybe they built a third one that we don't know about, and then that was there. So you got that. Billy Dee Williams... Seeing Billy Dee Williams in the Millennium Falcon put a big fucking grin on my face. That made me go, oh, I miss that. I genuinely
Lando.
Miss that. Lando, yeah.
Lando. I like... He's got, I've got the Falcon back. Woohoo!
Do you know what? Do you know what I find funny? I love using the term, if you've betrayed me, you've Landoed me.
You've Landoed me.
You Lando.
There was a brilliant, not meme, but somebody took a bit of that video, and there was some text, wasn't there? What was dead will come back, or something like that.
Yeah, what's dead, what's gone is not dead. Or
what's
something like
what
that.
Is gone is not dead, and yeah. It fades to black.
Yeah.
And this person's meme, it has somebody's voice. Yeah. It's a me. It's a back, and they've done it as Jar Jar Binks, and you're going, actually. Fits quite well, yeah. Because he's a dark overlord. Clearly,
I would love it if he was a dark overlord. That would be the best fucking bait and switch ever. He'd be like, kind of, it was me behind the whole thing, and he's got like an English accent and a tash, so he can twiddle it.
Yeah, you sit there. Is a Mia,
but it drops into someone else's voice. So,
yeah,
we got towards the end of the trailer, and we heard the laugh of the Emperor,
which I said,
how the fuck
is that? Is that the Joker, Mark Hamill?
That would be great if it was the Joker, Mark Hamill.
Fantastic. At last.
That would be the best thing if it was Mark Hamill as the Joker.
It was an evil laugh, and I thought Palpatine was dead.
Yes, apparently Ian McDermott was on set and stuff, and they managed to keep it secret up until the Star Wars Celebration in Chicago, where they showed this trailer off. And they showed another trailer off, which we're going to talk about in a moment.
So how are they bringing him back to life? Because didn't...
Well, I know in like canon, which is no longer canon, he cloned himself a couple of times to make sure that if something happened, he's got a backup.
Okay. So where the fuck's he been all this time?
Yeah, where the fuck's he been? How the hell did Snoke come about if the Palpatine was about?
Was that one of his clones?
No, I don't think Snoke was one of his clones.
One of the weaker clones. When you clone shit and sometimes it doesn't...
You're talking about copying VHS to VHS.
I was talking...
great when you try and copy it across.
Where I was getting at, you know the film Twins with Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yes.
One's really great and the other one's a bit of shit, really. So, if canon is that he's cloned himself, where have these clones been living? And what have they been doing? Have they been on a fucking planet like Luke for the past whatever amount of years?
I don't know.
Living together in some weird Palpatine only infested forest. I don't know.
It's bollocks. It's bollocks.
Are they trying to get to the point where they say, you know that second film we just released a couple of years ago? Ignore that. Literally complete, like, all of it.
I that's fine. I think that's
probably a good way to go. But, shit.
Yeah.
It's
as a trailer, the only bit I really liked was seeing Billy Dee Williams in the Millennium Falcon.
That did make me smile.
That did. It just put a smile on my face. That was proper fucking fan service, and I've not really got any complaints about that because I said it made me smile.
It used to be his, didn't it? And what's his face? Han won it in a card game against him, didn't he? Well, we saw this in the film Han Solo or Solo, didn't we?
Oh, well, you did, and I didn't bother watching that.
We watched it. I think it was on Sky Cinema. Yeah. So I didn't pay for it. It was part of my subscription.
You didn't pay any additional for it?
I didn't pay any additional
because you're not putting there getting it for free.
Yeah.
So
he won it in a card game of whatever that card game is. Yeah.
But saying that trailer, I think we both looked at it and we were like, yeah. I like the Billy Dee Williams bit. I'm confused by the fucking Joker at the end. Why is DC now in fucking Star Wars?
Why is Mark Hamill's Joker in this?
that confused us.
It could be good.
But the other thing was...
Nothing is canon anymore. It doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah, no, it doesn't matter. Now the Joker can be in it. It's when Iron Man turns up to save the day. That's when I go,
hang on a minute. Marvel DC crossover.
No, that's Thanos. It's like a fight between Thanos. Turns... Yeah, like break through one wall into them having a fight. And they go, well, this is fucking embarrassing.
As Ant-Man peers out of Thanos' eyes. okay. Where have we just got? I don't know.
Anyway, let's go back because there was another trailer that was released at this Star Wars event, and this was for the Respawn game, the guys who made Modern Warfare, who are now with EA, Jedi Fallen Order, and we both watched that trailer and we went,
"No,
that's a film I want to watch."
Yeah, do you know? Yeah, the trailer itself had so much more intrigue than the trailer for the film.
Yes.
It looked fantastic. And we know that... we know this has been in the works for a while, this game. And everyone's been speculating. I say everyone. People who like games have been speculating.
See, the thing with the game is, I don't know if it has been in the work for so long because there have been like two other cancelled Star Wars games in between.
One had six years development on it, and it was a single player RPG.
Was that the visceral one, or was that 1313, which was the LucasArts one?
Because
there was the 1313 one, which you saw a demo for. It looked fantastic, and then Disney bought it and went, it's being canned because we're giving all the rights to EA and LucasArts getting dissolved. And then I think after the fucking Battlefront debacle, they turn around to EA because you're doing a fucking single. You're doing. No, listen, how Sony do their single player games. You're doing the fucking game like that. And they went, okay. And they gave it to Respawn, and they turned and said, Respawn, we want fucking multiplayer in it. To which Respawn went, we'll have to invent something entirely new, and came up with Apex Legends. So we can say, look, that's the multiplayer for fucking Star Wars, as far as you're concerned. So that'll keep your multiplayer a bit happy, and we can do a single player game. That's how I feel it went down, whether that's the case, it went down like that. But the guy in it who's the Jedi that's on the run from...
Right.
I think there's like an Inquisitor-style person, because there's this person in a black mask.
Yeah,
with like a really thin visor.
Red.
Yeah.
And
they looked really scary. And there's a bit where they're kind of like on the front of the ship that they're trying to escape into. And
it was a black visor with a red strip across where the eyes are. A bit like that bloke from X-Men.
Cyclops.
Cyclops with a thinner strip. Cool helmet.
Yeah, it looked really well. Aesthetically, that was really pleasing. And it did make me go, who the fuck is this person? And now I've got there's some intrigue there, yeah? And this is a tease trailer too.
This is only a teaser trailer.
Yeah.
And it had us wanting more than the actual film trailer.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be released around the same time, around November, both of them. And I don't think there's any tie-in with each other at all. They're completely separate. So don't go thinking this is a game about the film. It's not.
They're just piggybacking off of the thing. But it looks like they mo-capped a guy called Cameron Monaghan.
Monaghan.
So Cameron Monaghan is... he plays Jerome and Jeremiah Valeska in Gotham. And he does a really good job, given what he's having to work with TV-wise. And they look like he's going to be the guy who's the main character. I don't know if it is him, but they definitely got his face because they did... I can't remember the other guy now who did Force Unleashed. Because when they did Unleashed, they mo-capped a guy and kept his face.
God, he's the... In Arrow, he's the bloke who's fucking turned. Jesus.
Not Jesus.
No, not Jesus. Not Jesus.
Jesus died from fucking Walking Dead last time.
He did, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And then came back. The guy... can't remember his bloody name. But he was in Arrow. He was the bloke with the mask.
He was also
has
in
the gang behind him and stuff like that.
He's also in Being Human too.
Human?
Oh, crikey. Yeah.
I can't remember what else he was in. Was he in...
Hang on a second. Let me just find him because we'll be here all day. So he is. Where is he? Sam Witwer.
Sam Witwer. Yeah. Darth Vader's secret apprentice in that. Yeah. If you click his name, was he in Heroes?
No, I don't.
Was he the bad guy in Heroes who absorbed everybody's power?
No, that's Silent.
Oh no, that's Silent. No.
Yeah.
No. Somebody similar. Oh, he's in Days Gone.
Yeah, and they've mo-capped his face in that too.
I was in Agent Liberty.
Okay.
Fucking Agent Liberty. Oh, no. Supergirl, not Arrow. Yeah, okay. Right. I've got two mixed up.
You've been watching Supergirl. What's wrong with you, man?
Oh, mate. I've got about... I won't go into it, but I've got about 6 episodes of Supergirl, 6 episodes of Arrow, and 6 episodes of The Flash. Because, well, fucking hell, who watches that anymore?
Yeah, but yes, he was.
He was in
the
that.
American version of Being Human, not
the British
version set in Wales and Bristol. Okay, so the game looks good. It looks exciting. It's all about how after Order 66, the fucking Jedi are on the run. So I imagine he might come across some other Jedi,
possibly.
And then you've got these Inquisitors. I think they're Inquisitors.
They look it.
Given the way they were in Rebels, so it looks like Inquisitors chasing down. Looks like he's got some help from someone. A lady flying a spaceship, which is good because you need to fucking get off planet.
Mm.
Starts off and he's like hiding as a wrecker. He's like kind of cutting up starships and stuff. And for some reason, where they've cut up starships, there's a fucking great big monster underneath that eats people. And his mate falls off and gets consumed by, I don't know if it's a Sarlacc pit or what.
Could be a Sarlacc.
It could be a Threshermore from fucking Mass Effect. I didn't get that bit. But
yeah, I'm not sure. I'm sure it would become apparent when you're actually playing the game. They would
That was the one thing I did like about the trailer. They did build up to him being a Jedi.
It looked like they've taken bits from the start, from the middle, and from the end.
It looks like he starts off and he's just this guy. He's carving up ships for scrap. An Inquisitor turns up. He goes on the run, finds some people, and that. and he's just talking. You don't know why he can't. You know by the title who he is, but the way the trailer makes it seem is like kind of you don't know who he is. And then right at the end, for dramatic effect, it's like believe in the Force, and then pulls out his lightsaber and fires it up, and it's like that's a fucking trailer. I like that. That's a tease trailer. But
do you know what? People cared about that. They say it's a single player game, and I've mentioned it before. My favourite RPG, a single player RPG game, and my favourite RPG single player game was KOTOR and KOTOR 2. So I'm hoping they use elements of that, but you don't
it's
think?
Not, no, it's gonna be like Uncharted in space with lightsabers. I'm sorry, mate. That's what I'm saying. This is Respawn. They did fucking Modern Warfare. They don't have an RPG pedigree. They have an action game pedigree. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If this was BioWare doing it, I would sit there and say, yeah, you're pretty fucking spot on. Yeah, I think that would be a way to redeem themselves from the messy Andromeda and the messy Anthem. But this is It looked like there was only one bit of gameplay that we could see in it.
It was a bit of wall running.
Yeah, he literally jumped up and runs across a wall. And then it kind of looks like it goes from that and then cuts to a game.
Although we took another peek at it, and we think possibly it's one of those where you've been playing the game and then it cuts to a cinematic using the same graphics, and it's a cinematic across this wall run, and then you're back into the game.
Yeah.
So it might be cinematic gameplay rather than
it's actual, like
because the rest of cinematic.
Yeah, it's not a pre-rendered bit of stuff. No. It's actually in-game rendered bit of stuff.
It looked the graphics on, well, what I'm saying is the CG on that looked different to the rest of the video. That's why we think it's that bit.
Yeah.
Because the rest of the video, the CG looked spot on. It looked really good.
Yeah. Yeah, it did look really good.
As you can tell, we're so much more enthused about this
really?
This little bit than the film that's coming out sometime this year.
Yeah, because Ray looks butch in that. And they made her shoulders. They gave her big shoulders, like a man's shoulders, which is wrong.
Dude's been working out. Well, girl's been working out, which
she's
is fine.
She's a dude now.
It's fine. She can work out. I go to a boot camp and there's some girls who have got
There are some
shoulders.
Girls with shoulders, but they're kind of, there's like a feminine way of doing it and a masculine way of doing it.
Yeah.
And the way they got her dressed makes her look mannish. Yeah.
Well, she's wearing the same shit she's always worn.
Yeah. And I think the fact that they kind of... it sounds awful. She's wearing a sports bra, which makes her look flat-chested, which makes her look more dude-ish. Yeah. I'm not expecting her
so
to...
she should wear a push-up.
Yeah, she should wear a push-up just for filming.
A Wunderbar.
Well, look, fucking Lara Croft with those fucking massive memories in those games could do it. anyway, let's move on to something else. Do you know who Fraser Hines is?
No.
And don't look at the fucking article, you cheating bastard.
No, I'm looking at the article. Still not a clue.
All right, okay. All right, back when Doctor Who first started out and he regenerated into Patrick Troughton, the second Doctor. The second Doctor had a companion, and it was a guy from like medieval kind of Scotland, which he picked up. And this guy's name was Jamie, played by Fraser Hines. Now Fraser Hines has come out and turned around and goes, "The latest Doctor Who is shit." This is what he's not said that exactly, but he's turned around and gone, "It's shit." He goes, "I'm not interested in Rosa Parks and historical stuff. Yeah, I want fucking monsters." He goes, "When I was a kid and we watched Doctor Who, yeah, it was like kind of how the fuck are we going to get out of this thing? How's he going to beat that monster? Blah, blah, blah." And they always had like cliffhangers. So having TV episodes that could resolve at the end, so there's no cliffhangers.
Yeah.
He turned around and said, "No, that's not what Doctor Who is." And Keith always fucking, you know, he goes on about two-part Doctor Who episodes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the boy, he's in line with old Fraser Hines here. And I the last series of Doctor Who was fucking terrible. And I can imagine he's probably getting shit from everyone around, because it's probably not deemed to be politically correct and all that crap.
But he's entitled to his opinion.
Yeah, he's entitled to his opinion. And you know what? I agree with his opinion, yeah?
And if he's been in the programme, so why is he not entitled to his opinion more than Joe Bloggs down the street?
And the funny thing is the two previous showrunners set it up like he wanted it. So you got Moffat and Russell T. Davis both were like kind of, we put monsters in it, yeah? It's like even if it's a historical thing, we'll throw a fucking monster in there.
Dinosaurs on a
Dinosaurs on a fucking spaceship. It's like, here's a spaceship. Let's have some dinosaurs on it. It does sound like they were playing a game with
snakes
post-it.
On a plane.
No. They got like post-it notes, and it's like, right, pull three post-it notes out. It goes dinosaurs. Okay, on. Okay,
on
spaceship.
Okay. Right. Writers go.
Yeah. And it's like, kind of, which bad guy should we use? Okay, we'll pull out the bucket. Cybermen. I know we used them previously. Silurians. So yeah, okay, right, dinosaurs on a spaceship with Silurians. Go write that one. I think that was actually what's his name?
Chibnall.
That was Chibnall for that one. So Chibnall wrote that one.
It's writing by numbers, isn't it?
Well, it's random. It's kind of comes from random stuff. I really miss fucking Moffat. I know people hated him. I didn't hate him as much. I kind of understood where he came from, because it was like kind of all the politics and stuff like that. I saw him in person, and they said before he came on stage, they said, do not ask him about a female Doctor Who, because he doesn't want to fucking talk about it. He did not want to do it. And I think that's one of the reasons he had to leave, is because he didn't want to put a female Doctor Who in. Yeah, and he said quite clearly, he goes, I will put a female Doctor Who in when the Queen is played by a man. Yeah? So I think he was forced to put politics in, because also when he was asked about certain stuff on stage, he turns around and goes, I have bosses too, and they make demands of me too. Yeah, he was very fucking polite about it. And I think that some of the writing, the way it went down after, I think it was after, Matt Smith left, I think was the fact that the BBC started interfering with it. And I think that's one of the reasons he left too.
Me and my wife, we started watching Doctor Who when Matt Smith had done a season, I think it was already. We hadn't started with the Christopher Eccleston era or David Tennant. So we missed all that before. And whoever was... before Matt Smith, we didn't catch any of that, and so we got watching, and we went, do you know what, we like this Doctor. He's a little bit kooky, a little bit fun, a little bit not outlandish, but he's quite likable, and I like him.
Did you get the feeling that he was old?
No, really, a little bit. Yeah,
like he was old. Like he was like there's old, a part of him
old trying to be young. Yes, sort of. Yeah.
Yeah, that was the bit I kind of liked about Matt Smith, is the fact that you kind of got the impression that this guy is old and he is trying to be fun and funky, and sometimes it doesn't come off.
Yeah, not quite.
And do you know the worst thing is in that very first episode, the 11th Hour, which is, I think, is the best opener for Doctor Who out of all of them, he does the bit where he turns around and he goes, he beats the aliens, yeah, and he goes, who the man? Like that. And then he turns around and looks at the new companions and turns around and goes, I'm never saying that again. Because he's trying on new things. Yeah. And it's like he's as an old man in a young man's body.
Yeah.
And it worked. And the writing and everything kind of, it G'd up well. Fraser Hines, I think you're absolutely right. I completely agree with you. I do miss the monsters. The Dalek one was shit. I kind of like the way they made the Dalek threatening, but that was in like one scene away from everything fucking happening when he takes on the army. Jodie Whittaker's fucking terrible, I'm sorry. And it's annoying because Jodie Whittaker's terrible. Star Trek is shit. Star Wars has gone to shit. The fucking Flash has gone to shit. The Arrow's gone to shit. Supergirl was always shit. The DC movies have got better, though.
I haven't seen Aquaman, and I really want to.
Watch Aquaman. It's fun. It's not a very intellectual film.
No, it's a fun film.
It's a good film just to watch. If you just want to sit there and park your brain at the door, don't expect anything taxing, because you ain't got anything.
I want
to
see Shazam.
Shazam.
I haven't had the opportunity yet to go see it with the kids. I like the idea of that one.
Shazam's it's for the kids. It's very quite clearly aimed at the kids and family, which was good. And some of the bits in there, there's a bit, I'll ruin it for you, where they go to a strip joint, it's Shazam, so he goes to a strip joint, it's Shazam, and then literally comes out like 5 minutes later, turns around, remember Gavin and my stag do? He turns around and goes, run out of money, because they're very persuasive. Just like fucking Gav at my thingy where he was like, I need some money, Gareth. Can you hand me over?
You've been here 5 minutes.
You've been 5 minutes.
Then you turn around and go, you're talking to everybody.
Yeah,
go,
so sit down, survey the talent, get some drinks in, and then they'll come over to us.
Is that all right, Gav? Gav?
Buggered off with some Nordic bird.
What?
And she's like, yeah.
He's not even
Oh, man, that was bad. That was bad. But that's what happens in Shazam. he does exactly the same Shazam, which was hilarious. And then
there's
a bit at the end where it's like kind of, it's like they're trapped in this magical realm. And it's like, how did you get out last time? I literally thought about going back to the train car and we go. I landed back in the subway car. And it's like, okay, think about somewhere safe, yeah? Somewhere that you can remember. And then it cuts to outside the fucking strip club. And then it's like, you hear the pfft noise as they've like appeared. And then they all like bundle out the door like that. And it's like kind of... It was the place he went in his head, and I just love that because that's such a male thing to do. And then you got this little girl, she turns around and goes, "Why did you cover my eyes? They had really good music on in there." And then you had the big one, he's probably gay, and they did it really subtly rather than turn around and go, "Oh, I'm so gay." He turns around and goes, "Oh, that's not my thing." Which was quite good. I like the way, because that kind of subtleness, which makes you kind of think about things, I kind of like, rather than having you fucking hit over the head with it. So, yes, Simpsons. We watched...
Simpsons, eh?
We watched Simpsons welcoming the fact that they're going to now be on Disney Plus, which I found quite funny because it reminded me of...
Their part.
It reminded me of Futurama and Kent Brockman in The Simpsons, because there was... Kent Brockman in The Simpsons did the news report for a Treehouse of Horror where aliens had taken over using not sophisticated weapons because peace had developed the world. So the aliens laughed and went, "Well, we can go there." And it's like, "We're going to round you up using our unsophisticated weapons," which are like blocks of wood and stuff. and it was like, "I work on my new alien overlords," and da 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 da. And they did the same thing in Futurama. And what's his mush? Homer does that. Goes, "I welcome our new corporate overlords."
Yeah. Yeah.
Which was good.
Put on these Mickey Mouse hats. Yeah.
And that Bart's throwing a fucking paddy.
No! Don't want to do it! No! Marge, put it on.
Yeah.
Squishes it on.
She squishes it on. And yeah, because that was... I found that amusing. And it's going to be weird because... I might start watching The Simpsons again if we get Disney Plus, and my wife will probably want to get in fucking Disney Plus because of she really likes Disney.
She likes Disney.
It's funny because we had a holiday to Disneyland Paris, and she wasn't very keen on Disney, and she thought it might be, because I always said that Disney's kind of thing was like it's supposed to be the happiest place in the world. And she went, "Oh, that sounds interesting." So she went there, and she just fell in love with it more so than me. And I went to Disney World in Florida once as a kid and twice to Disneyland in California as a kid, and I can remember going on the rides and this, that and the other, and I remember enjoying myself, and I remember going on Space Mountain, especially one in Florida, which we went on because I took Liam and Dexter on one of the little rides because Liam wasn't too keen on it. And it's like the trick with the Space Mountain is it gives you the illusion that it's going fast. And but Disney are fucking owning every fucking thing at the moment. So it's The Simpsons, Star Wars, Marvel. If they buy fucking DC, yeah, my God.
There will be a crossover.
Yeah, there will be a crossover of fucking Star Wars.
No.
but yeah, it's mad to think that Disney own so much. And it's like, not worldwide, because you've got Bollywood, which are huge. But we think of the Western side of it rather than the Eastern side of it.
Yeah.
They own so much, it's ridiculous. Even fucking sports, it's like kind of, do they own Sky Sports over here in the UK? Because if that's the case, they own pretty much everything I watched as a kid.
Fox was owned by Murdoch.
Murdoch owns
Sky.
Yeah.
Only the news. Side?
Even though technically, I think it's under his son's name, so he doesn't have a monopoly. But I think it was sold because it was part of the news.
I don't know if that was part of it. That'll be interesting.
It'll be interesting to see. But I think they do, because they're also on ESPN. So I don't know what they're going to do with that. I don't know if they're going to merge all those TV entities into one and put them under fucking Disney Plus, or maybe rebrand it.
Or they do it through the medium of The Simpsons.
It's the dance. I thought you were going to say.
So no, I was going to. They do it through Simpsons, because this video that they've put together, they splatter some. They've got a statue of Darth Vader.
And one of Bob Iger, who's the current president of Disney.
So because it's their entity, they could have cameos through The Simpsons where you've got
I imagine that there will be a Disney Star Wars crossover or reference close to when the next film comes out.
Yeah,
because they'll have their season. They have their season from like September down to April or whatever.
Oh, so watch this space.
Yes. Okay. BioWare. Because we were talking about the Star Wars game, I didn't really think that through because I could put that after the Star Wars game.
Although it's not. The Star Wars game that we were talking about isn't made by BioWare, but we would have expected it to be
made by BioWare because they made all the other Star Wars games that you love so dearly. And I tried playing, and then I remember I didn't play this because I got through the tutorial and I was like, fuck me, this is just overly complicated. It's like, just which one fight? No, you have to queue up a thing and
yeah.
Motherfucker!
I don't mind that. I quite like the queuing up of skills. Yeah. So, BioWare.
Anyway, BioWare. BioWare released Anthem and it was a shit show, and they released Dragon Age, and that was Dragon Age Inquisition, which was...
It was alright. I didn't mind it, although I didn't carry on playing it. Although that is a trait of mine. Get so far and then go, ooh, new game, shiny, yeah. Play that.
And the other thing too is that they also did Mass Effect Andromeda, which I think it's more shit than it deserves. And I know why. Mm. Because the start to Mass Effect Andromeda, the setup, I think the setup gameplay-wise is 8 hours to get through the setup for the game. And I don't think anyone ever got past the fucking setup for the game. Because after you get past the setup for the game...
It opens up.
The game is quite good.
Yeah.
But that 8 hours is not appreciated. really isn't appreciated. And then also that 8 hours contains most of the fucking mistakes to people. My face is tired and all that shit. Tends to happen within that first 8 hours. And the only thing that didn't, which people brought up on, was the... No, that does happen in the first 8 hours. That's a lie because that was the first settlement... is the transgender person who had their sex change. But they never explained how they had the sex change, whether it was surgical or genetic alterations. Because I'm hoping in the future it would be genetic alterations, and that way they'd probably be a woman, rather than just have the fucking twig and giggleberries calf.
Yeah.
Just one of those things that crossed my brain. It was like, well, it's the future. You'd want this thing done properly. You'd want your genetics changed to
in the womb.
Well, not in the womb, because you'd have to get yourself redone. Yeah, so they probably put you in some kind of artificial womb, which would then grow and reconfigure you, which is better than taking the fucking scalpel.
Yeah, true, because you won't know until you're actually a little bit older.
let's get back to BioWare, because I can hear that in Nigel's tone there. So a guy called Jason Schreier, who writes for, I think it's for Kotaku. So I'm not a big fan of Jason Schreier. I think he's knob end. But when someone does something good and worth... He's the only person who comes across as a Grimes journalist, even though his attitude fucking stinks, because he got in a fight with a YouTuber called Yong Yi, and he was awful to him, and he was right dick. But even when dicks do good things, you should recognise the fact that they did a good thing, because he did proper journalistic work on this, and he was interviewing and checking up, and he was talking about how fucking employees were being mismanaged to the point that they were coming off with like fucking like a form of PTSD, which only combat stress that only soldiers come down with. What was the term that was used? Can you remember?
Oh, something stress. Fuck. What was it?
I can't remember now. It's really annoying because we went through it before we started. We kind of forgot. But there were stories of people going off crying, people who were taking months off because of the pressure and stuff they were put under.
They would do, no, that's not them, it seems the gaming industry in general, when they seem to be going, yeah, we've worked so hard on this, and we're pulling 100-hour weeks. But no!
But when we were gaining Face Punch, we had contact with a game developer who did... it came from Space and Ate Our Brains.
Mm.
And he was talking about how in his organisation... Because we asked them about crunch time and stress, how developers and stuff would sleep in under their desks and be told to go home.
Yeah.
Because they didn't want to leave the desk because they're still working on the project. Because maybe... sounds a weird thing to say that certain programmers have a touch of autism. And then they get hyper-focus and they get absolutely locked on the task that they're doing. And then leaving that task and not working on it is difficult. Now, I do programming every so often. And I do suffer from hyperfocus, and also I can come up with a better technique for programming recently, which is easy. It makes life so much more easy, and I'll tell Nigel about it after the podcast. So it's not good that you're burning through your employees, but saying that, the original spec for the game was that the area that you were occupied was supposed to be like the space version of the Bermuda Triangle, and ships and alien races that went missing would wind up in your area before they came up with the Anthem of Creation, all that shit, and it was single player. Right. And then EA turned around up. That was the base idea. They hadn't fleshed it out. And then EA turned up and went, oh, we want a looter shooter. Goes, and we want multiplayer. And we want this. And we want that. And then by the time it did it, they came up with a fucking bastardized version of the game. Now, we played Anthem. And it wasn't utter shite.
It had its bugs.
It had bugs.
And but it was,
and I know you didn't like the fuck. You took hate it to task it. For the overworld.
Hate not being able to run, and you're forced to walk at a fucking slow pace. I just want to get on with it. I don't want to be sat there going.
I knew I'd fucking trigger you.
Oh my god.
Okay, Nigel, we got it. But saying that, it had potential. We looked at that, and Terra said, "Look, if that was delayed by 9 months." They could fine-tune everything and it would be really... It would be a good game. So, like, just... Okay, put in the run mechanic in the overworld. All right?
Easy. Easy. Right.
All right? And then it's just fine-tuning the enemies and bits inside the game because it did feel... There's something odd about it. Just the way it was balanced wasn't quite right.
Yeah.
It felt like...
There was also a bug in the game where... in the actual game, where I heard... You could get a rifle.
Oh, this with a butt weapon.
And it was a level 4 rifle or something.
Is this the one you get at the start of the game?
At the start of the game, and it was the most powerful rifle in the game.
Because
and you didn't ever need to upgrade.
Yeah, because they were so desperate to get people to buy weapons, they fucked the mechanics for the progression on the guns. And that's terrible. And coming back to working for companies that have been mismanaged, myself and Nigel have both worked in environments where we've had poor managers and good managers. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that because people have gone off with stress, and we've had friends go off with stress. And I didn't go off with stress. I went off with something else. But we've had to take time out of work because of the nature of the fucking beast. And we can I can empathise with the guys if they're working with people who don't know what they're fucking doing, because we've had a lot of people that have been put in charge of us who are either not good with people, it's a combination of not good with people and don't know what they're doing, and they're the worst type, because you can have someone who doesn't know what's going on but is good with people, and those people will chat. And they will try and figure out what you do because that's important to them to understand how you work so they can get the best out of you because they're good with people, yeah? And then you have the person who is the technical specialist, yeah? Who knows how it should be done, yeah? Okay, they may be a bit rough around the edges and their approach might be a bit kind of not great because they're not great with people because they're more focused on details and technical aspects, but they know the technical aspects. So you've got that. But when you have people who don't know the technical aspects and are bad with people, you get shit like this with fucking Anthem. So not only you have someone who clearly can't do their job.
Mm.
That's the thing. Because if you had someone who was good with people, none of most of that shit would go away. If you had someone who's good with people and technical and creative or creative, this would have not happened.
And what they were saying is, we watched a Jim Quisition.
On it because we were too lazy to read the article.
Yes, too lazy because even Jim said it took him the best part of a day dipping in and out of the article because it's so long. So essentially they're saying, they're not saying the workers should do overtime, but they're suggesting that it's good for them to do the overtime because essentially if they don't do the overtime for the manager, then... That person who hasn't done the overtime is not in favour with the manager and could be ousted. And they won't get their pay and all that sort of stuff. Because majority of these people, They don't work directly for the company as an employee. They're a contractor.
Do you know what? You're saying that. My friend Carl, the one only one person I play online with on Xbox One. hi, Carl. He had a friend who worked in EA's Q&A department. This was ages ago. Remember when me and you got those copies of Army of Two for like a fiver?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's the one who got us. He got me those copies. And the turnaround for staff is ridiculous. Because the moment you, if you turn up late or if you're off ill or something, that's it, you're gone. So they kind of encourage, yeah, that's a horrible kind of environment to be in, to know that you have to fuck off because you're ill. Yeah, I was in hospital over the weekend because I broke my leg. Okay, bye. That's the kind of attitude they had towards these people. And that's from EA when they were doing PlayStation 3 and 360 stuff.
Yeah.
So I can imagine that that's probably worse. And they have to understand that they need to be a bit Hollywood about it, because Hollywood kind of respects the creative and that kind of that type. And it was like with Konami and fucking Kojima. And it's like, whether you like Kojima or not, you know, the guy is an artist and an auteur, I think is the right word. And he insisted in making sure that everything was done a specific way and to a specific standard and this, that, and the other. And, okay, he fucking fannied around. But I imagine that his staff weren't getting put under pressure when he was around to get things done in that kind of fashion.
I would imagine with Kojima, he had that clout with the publishers, managers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The game's not ready.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Yeah, but the
and the staff underneath him
probably appreciated that.
Appreciated that because they could say, "Oh, I'm in at 8:30. I'm going home at 5:00."
I think
most did.
Okay. That they
probably, I'm
yeah.
I'd imagine so.
I imagine it probably not quite like that because he did have a few hissy fits, but yeah. I imagine that it was like kind of, as long as you're doing what I want you to do in the way I want you to do it, then everything's fine. And I'm not going to push you around too much because I know it needs to take time in order for it to happen. But that pissed people off Konami because, like, kind of the Metal Gear game that he was working on was a year over date. Yeah? Which means he wasn't pushing people through fucking crunch periods. I imagine he probably has pushed people through crunch periods, but I kind of got the impression that he wasn't doing that. And I kind of get the impression that Death Stranding is not going through a crunch period either, because you're not hearing anything about it, which... It's good and bad at the same time, because it's like kind of, okay, that's good that you're not doing that, but...
Still, dude, nobody knows what
fucking...
the...
Yeah, no one knows what the fucking game's like.
What's that fucking game?
All right. So that's BioWare's messy. Line of Duty. You were watching Line of Duty.
I have been.
So this is something we're going to try, and Nigel's going to try and sell me Line of Duty, so I'll watch it by next podcast. So why the fuck should I watch Line of Duty?
Because it's like Luther, and you like Luther.
How's it like Luther? It's like army shit.
It's not army.
It's not army shit. What is it?
Police.
Okay, so you got mad serial killers and shit in it.
Essentially,
sorry, I'm going to ask questions.
So it's in the sense where you've got a Luther, for example, you've got a detective with some team.
Yeah.
And he's working to find out. And also within that series, Luther's off doing some other shit with... whatever, trying to fix things. Yeah, the first series, which is available on iPlayer,
yeah,
because it's BBC.
Okay,
it sort of follows the same pattern where you've got your DIs.
Okay,
the detective inspectors, and they're trying to solve what's going on. I don't want to go into too much, but he gets in deep. People are investigating. So it follows a guy called Steve Arnett mostly.
Okay.
Steve Arnett was counterterrorism. And it starts off with him in the first episode, literally starts off with him directing a SWAT team.
Yeah.
Rifles and the lot. To a door in a block of flats. And they bust in and without saying a word, shoot a bloke dead.
Okay.
So you would have expected, break door down, get down, you know.
Put your fucking hands up.
Put your hands up, you know. We're British, we don't shoot, sort of thing, right? They shoot, the guy's dead, and he was actually just holding his child in his arms, and it was the wrong house, because he ran up. He heard commotion. He's come running across the street, got up to the flat, and he's noticed on the. He's gone in the flat and he's seen what's happened. And he's gone, this isn't the guy, and he's gone out the door, and he's noticed that the door number, instead of being 36,
39.
It had flipped.
That's a fucking... Have you watched Inside Number 9?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Inside Number 9, there's an episode where I think it's like it's like 9 minutes, yeah? And what happens is this guy has paid to have his wife killed off, yeah? And because he's been shagging a neighbour. So the neighbour's getting ready to move out because she's going to go off and live with him somewhere else. So she does that. Anyway, she gets killed. Yeah, and it goes through the whole thing. And it gets to the end of the thingy because it's going like backwards by 9 minutes.
Oh, well, yes, I remember this one.
And what happened is the wife found out that this was happening and she lives at number 9. So all she did, she unscrewed one of the things so it flipped down and becomes 6. And that pinged straight into my head there.
So this is literally, he's sat there and gone, well, he's seen, and then number 9 is a few doors down. Mm. And he's gone... told everyone to knock that door down. They'd knock that and they see all the Arabic writing, bomb making equipment, all that sort of stuff in that room. And then they're sitting there going, there's going to be a fucking inquisition.
Hang on a second. That sounds a bit like a fucking comedy. It's like, it sounds like they'd burst through the door and go, whoops. Yeah. That's fade to black.
But then you've got the chief inspector for that department sitting there in the van on the way back.
Go on.
Sitting on the way back going, right. This is the story, and we're sticking to it. You know, so he concocts a story, and this guy, Steve, he's gone, nah. He's the only one out of the entire group who tells the exact truth.
Right.
And because of that, he gets oust.
Right.
And so because he's done that, he's been recruited.
Do you know what that's called? That's called the prisoner's dilemma. I'll explain after.
So he's been recruited now by the anti-corruption team.
Mm.
And so they start investigating... this chief detective or detective inspector, whatever they're called, like high ranking, he's got detectives under him.
Yeah.
Because his crime solve rate is so high, it's ridiculous. And they start doing small investigations into him. And essentially, this guy they're investigating is like Luther. So Luther...
All right, so he's got
stuff on the side.
So where Luther always had fucking internal investigations on his ass. He's the arsehole from Luther.
And the thing is, this main guy, at some point, his fucking smug face, he's sitting there going, God, he's got a punchable face. Because he thinks he's got a breakthrough in his case towards this guy. Oh God, I can't remember his name. We've watched another series since then. And he gets a breakthrough and he's sitting there and he's done something to really piss him off, you know. And this guy, he's trying to sort stuff out in the background and try and fix stuff. Mm. And he starts getting criminal gangs, this detective, he starts getting criminal gangs on his back, to getting him to do things on their behalf because they've got something over him. Because, I won't go as
okay.
But they... And he's sort of, and this Arnett bloke, he's starting to sort of claw back the smoke screen and so forth. And as it gets deeper and deeper and deeper, it just starts to just get worse and worse and worse for this detective. Much like it does for Luther in Luther's program, when he goes, don't worry, I'll fix it. This guy's like, I'm fixing it. And it just gets worse and worse and worse.
Yeah.
Progressively. And there's always a satisfactory conclusion to the end of the series. So each episode builds and builds and builds and builds. So there's about 5 episodes in the first series and there's 6 in the second. I don't know about number 3, 4, 5. But each episode builds on each other and it's concurrent. And at the start of each episode, they do a little preview of what happened in previous episodes leading to that point. If you're watching it week after week, you know. So it's decent in that respect. And it always fucking leaves you on a cliffhanger wanting more. It literally leaves you on going, fuck, I want to see what's next. Luckily, it's on iPlayer, so you just click next.
Okay. Is it done by Neil Cross?
I have no idea.
He's a guy who does Lisa.
I'll have to look that up. You
have to look that up. Okay, all right. So while you're looking that up, I'll digest whether I'll see it or not. So it's my turn to try and sell you something. And I've recently been playing a game with my brother called Generation Zero. Now, Generation Zero is a... I'm gonna describe it as it is. It's a Swedish flat pack survival game based in the 1980s. And you're a group of kids. So is it Neil Cross?
No, Jed Mercurio.
Oh, okay.
So directed by David Caffrey, Douglas McKinnon, if you remember, John Strickland and Jed.
So, all right.
Yeah, anyway.
Anyway, back. All right, back to Sweden. Yeah, anyway, you're a group of 80s teenagers. You were out on a boat ride with your friends and whatnot. You've come back. Something's attacked your fucking boat. You wash up on shore and you find that the villages and bits that you're travelling around is empty. Yeah. And everyone seems to have fucked off. So it's a case of you get back and it's like you get a note, it turns around and goes, well, we're going to the church to meet up with the others. And then it's like kind of, okay, we'll go to the church and we'll see where these people are going, because wherever they're going is safe. But you keep getting dogged by these robot dog creatures, ironically. You keep getting attacked by these robot dog creatures who are like kind of like patrolling the landscape. And you can do different tactics to do it off. So me and my brother were playing it. We're playing co-op. And we used Aha's Take On Me to pull six robots towards us and then detonated an explosive canister. I'm joking about the Aha Take On Me.
Oh, I was going to say, you play a radio.
Yeah, no. But we put a radio down. We turned the radio on. We ran to a safe distance. The first time I did it, I fucking blew myself up because it wasn't a safe distance. But I did take out seven of them in one hit, which was surprising because it was like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And my brother's like, no, there's one over here. 7. Oh, brilliant. 7 in one fucking... The funny thing is that both of us were trying to shoot the canister, and the first two shots we fired, we missed both of us. And then we reckon we shot the canister simultaneously and blew them up. And then it was an argument over who actually shot the canister. So, yeah, we were doing that. It's weird because it feels like a very... Being set in the 80s, it feels like a very 90s game.
Okay.
Yeah. Did you ever play like Stalker?
No.
Shadow of Chernobyl and all that stuff. It feels a bit like that. The robots are cool. The robots talk to each other, and you can hear them talking to each other over distance.
Is it like?
Like a weird, like the weird language. Sort of. Yeah, you can't understand what they're doing, and it's great because you can look at them and you see them. There's like a white light as they're like patrolling, and then they think they see something. It goes orange, and then it goes red when they've actually seen something. So it gives you the opportunity to kind of evade them. And it's great because you get XP for evasion. Yeah? So it's like kind of you get XP for combat, but you also get XP for evasion, which is good. There's criticism about the ammo not being quite right. No, that's not terrible. Not completely wrong. It is completely empty. So it does have a kind of a Fallout 76 feel to it, but the game is balanced. And it does make sense, rather than the fucking scaling of Fallout 76 is all over the shop. You can't tell what you can shoot and how many rounds you can put in it. And there's plenty of ammunition for you to pick up. And it's co-op, it's good. And it's like me and my brother were trying to work out tactics and bits. And we got to this castle. And my brother somehow managed to get up the top of the castle by jumping up a load of rocks to get up to the top. And he kind of wedged himself at the top. And he turns around and goes, there's like fucking 8 of them up here. So I was like, all right, fair enough. So I went into the thingy. I put me a couple of red canisters down. Because I think it's going to take more than one to take out these bastards. So put the canisters down. Plop the radio down. Aha comes on. It doesn't come on, but it's because it's Scandinavian. It's Scandinavian. It's the 80s. It's the only bit of music reference I've got. So I back up to a safe distance, yeah? Pull out my old rifle. And unlike my brother, I've got a fucking silencer on the end of my rifle. And a better scope than him. And the problem is he's got a better fucking rifle than me, which is really annoying. He's like, how the fuck did you get a better rifle? He goes, yeah, you got a rifle, which is useful. I got a silencer for a rifle. Give us it. No, I'm not fucking giving you my silencer. I'm keeping that for when I get a chance. He goes, you tight bastard. So anyway, it's like I put the radio on, I pulled them all over and I blew them all up. And I put so many down, I got myself again. I've hurt myself more than the robots have hurt me. And it's weird because we're starting to get through the game and it starts off and they're like very kind of skeletal and they've got no like casing on them. And when we got up to this thing, it like the seven, no, it wasn't, it was nine I took out. The nine that I took out with this, these canisters, four of them had casing on them. So they're starting to be, they look like the machines are upgrading themselves as you're going along. And we haven't come across any of the big bastards and whatnot. And it's weird because it does feel like you're surviving. It feels Minecraft-y more than anything else.
So this game is a looter shooter?
It's a looter shooter, but it's not...
Fallout.
But it's not asking you to buy anything. There's no fucking microtransactions. It's a straight-up game, which I really appreciate. It's only $27.99 on Amazon at the moment, guys. Go and get your copy now if you want to play it. Make sure you get a friend, though.
I can't imagine playing the game like that solo.
You can play it solo.
Probably could, but I'd get a bit bored, I think.
Yeah, but yeah, you got to figure out traps and stuff, because we're trying to use flares to distract them. And the problem is my guy's throwing arm for throwing a flare, it threw it like 3 foot in front of him, so it just highlighted where the fuck I was. I'm like...
Oh, I used my left arm again.
the funny thing is, I picked a character and I designed him to look like Michael Cera. Do you know who Michael Cera is, the actor?
No.
He's I'm trying to think of what he's in. He was in Scott Pilgrim versus the World. He was the main character in that.
Oh, I think I'm. Yeah.
I had him to look like Michael Cera, and then when I put it on, I got the Fonz instead for some reason. And me and my brother have just decided that we're going to make ourselves look like military people. We were like, oh no, military's really dull. And it's like, kind of, now we're like, kind of, the things can see us and the things can hear us too. So camouflage and silence sound like our best weapon. So let's get into the fucking military, your kind of uniforms and whatnot. Put the bright yellow jackets away. And it's not like the greatest game ever.
Sounded like you were going around like pimps with bright colours. And
my brother at the moment is wearing a gas mask, fucking yellow one leg and red one other leg tartan trousers. Yeah, fucking tartan trousers. And a gas mask to take him on. So yeah. Alright, so
interesting to see where you get with this game in a, you know, a little bit later. So you guys carry on playing, see how it progresses, see if it's worth that little bit extra more time. And yeah, little update next week maybe.
Yeah, because Alex is gonna come around tonight and we're gonna have a bash on it, because we had to go last night. The problem is that we're getting old, and it was like, oh, we'll do it till 1 a.m, and we got to midnight and we're like, are you tired? I'm like, yeah, I'm fucking tired. It's like, I want to play on, but my shooting's going to shit because I'm tired. And it's something I've learned in life is that when you start going tired, you can't play games. You have to have a clear head in order to enjoy the game. And it was just a case that we were both tired and fuzzy, and we'd been drinking too. So, you know when you get that tired drunk? We were in tired drunk mode. So I should have been on the fucking vodkas and Red Bull, but that's beside the point. But yeah, we set it up and we were playing. It was great because we were playing in a room. We had two TV setups, as you saw downstairs. And it was like kind of this bit on the map, because when you play online across the internet, you can't sit there and point to the map. No. But because we were in the same room, it's like, kind of, see this bit on the map here? Because I think we should go down here. It's like, we've got 3 points we're trying to find a naval base. 3 points where a naval base could be. And my brother's like, kind of, oh, it's obviously that bit down there. That looks like a town. Yeah, naval base should be... Because he didn't say naval base, actually. He just turned and said military base. And it said, like, secret military base. And he's like, well, it wouldn't be fucking an obvious naval base, would it? It would be some kind of buried in the side of a hill. So I pointed at one bit, and he went there, and went, okay, we'll go to that because it's closer. We went there. It was that fucking base. So, oh, fuck off. not only does your thing not make sense, maybe because it didn't translate from Swedish very well, you proved my brother right.
Which is worse.
Which is worse and unforgivable. Okay. I think we should wrap it up.
So if anyone else listening to this podcast has actually either watched Line of Duty on the BBC or played whatever game Gareth was just talking about.
Generation Zero.
Then send us a tweet.
Yes.
Get in contact with us. Tell us what you think about
it. If it's crap or not.
Tell us what you think about either of those if you've played or watched.
I can understand if you don't like Generation Zero, because it's very survival-y, which is a different type of game. But it's fun when you're trying to work things out, because it's like we're reading bits and we're trying to work. We couldn't find the fucking hunter's cabin to find a rifle at the beginning, which was really annoying. Because you found this geezer's thing, vehicle, and it says, find the hunter's cabin. Hunter's cabin's bound to have decent weapons in. And it's like, well, he's going to have a fucking rifle, isn't he? Because we've already got shotguns. So what's the point of going there and finding more shotguns? Maybe silencers for shotguns. Anyway. So, yeah, I hope you enjoyed the podcast.
Yeah, maybe have.
And we'll see you in the next one. I desperately need the toilet, so I'm not going to hang around too long.
Yes, we'll see you in the next one. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.